Gord, were you mainlining caffeine at about the halfway mark of the game last night to get through that one?
Boy, Scott, Hazel, maybe the Leafs and Raptors were too excited about the George Springer signing. Man, you know, you talk about the excitement of, you got Connor McDavid, Leon Draisaitl, Mitch Marner, Austin Matthews, John Tavares. You got five guys that seriously could vie for the Art Ross Trophy or the Hart Trophy. And it looked like they were trying to get votes for the Selke Trophy as the top defensive forward. Like, it was a snoozer. It was dull, which you didn't expect. And it was unfortunate because, you know, the Edmonton had really struggled. They were ripe for the taking, and the Leafs didn't take advantage of that.
I loved what Austin Matthews said after that. You know, it was pretty uneventful, but he said, Gord, that, you know, we were just too safe. Did you see that?
Yeah, I didn't know if that was the word, but I appreciate it because, you know, Hazel, and something you're really good at is actually getting nuggets out of players after a game, because quite often, you know, it's the same stuff. And I appreciate that observation. So it's like they started the game saying, let's shut down Draisaitl and McDavid. And go from there, which, you know, most teams would say if Draisaitl and McDavid are going to combine for one goal, that's a good outcome. But the other side, you know, Hazel, is where was that offense? I mean, against the Winnipeg Jets, they had one power play with nine scoring chances on that one power play, and Tavares connected on that. And here they, you know, 8-4 were the shots on goal. Then they didn't get another shot 7 minutes in the second period. You had the Edmonton Oilers leading 1-0. On a Kyler Yamamoto goal, which Jimmy Vesey banked in basically an own goal after Jake Muzzin. So they're leading 1-0, had zero scoring chances at that point. And the Maple Leaf offense, like Mikko Koskinen, I mean, this guy is one step above a rent-a-goalie the way he's been playing lately, you know, and you're not firing shots at him. You're not taking advantage of them. Like, where is your strength, which is exactly that. And, you know, Hazel, to your point, you know, Austin Matthews said, you know, maybe they got – like, I can see Dave Tippett telling the Oilers guys, okay, we got to play an old Jacques Lemaire or Barry Trotz. Like, we got to play one of those games. We got to get our bleep together. Okay, which they did, turning guys into two-way players. But the Leafs didn't have to play that way.
With Gord Stellick on leadoff, Sportsnet 590, The Fan. I would imagine, Gord, through the years, you've had conversations with officials. And we're not here to suggest that their job is easy. And we also understand that sometimes calls go the Leafs' way. But that penalty that led to the Oilers' go-ahead goal 2-1 and eventual game-winning goal, the one taken by Jake Muzzin for tripping at about the 7.5 mark of the third period, I mean, that was either a dive or, and I watched this replay 6 times, I'm willing to even suggest it was Kyler Yamamoto's stick that upended his own teammate. It had nothing to do with Jake Muzzin. Now, if a referee is 30 feet away and thinks he sees something and throws the arm up, that's one thing. When the official is right on top of that play, looking right at it, I don't know how you call something like that. That can't be related to speed of the game or anything. You're standing right there. You're seeing the play.
Yeah, and, you know, Joe Bowe and Jim Ralph, they talked about the game early being ragged, being scrambly. And, you know, Scott and Hazel, to me, that included the officiating. I don't know. They brought their level. Like, it's like they were bored, too, because I really get annoyed when an official, and I've reffed, not at a high level. I just love doing it. But the whole thing is, don't call something you don't see. Don't call something you think you saw. Okay? That's rule number one. So, you know, maybe you missed something because you didn't see it, but you couldn't have seen that. Now, and that was a terrible, chintzy call. Now, saying that, if you're going to get anywhere in any sport, you've got to overcome calls that don't go your way. But in a game where the Leafs didn't have much, they were lethargic. They got that soft goal behind Koskinen and Austin Matthews, and they were getting a little bit of momentum. And then 90 seconds later, the chintzy penalty to Muzzin. So, yeah, I mean, it seems like the referees in that sense brought their caliber down to the caliber of a pretty dull, lethargic game.
Joe Thornton then, Gord, leaves the game after taking a hit, and Sheldon Keefe said afterwards that he will definitely miss some time. At 41 years old, how worrisome is an injury like this? And then who will get the opportunities?
Yeah, you know, Hazel, it's kind of like it's showing no discrimination age-wise. Injuries took Nick Robertson, the youngest player, out a couple of games ago, and now Joe Thornton, which, you're right, I mean, he's in phenomenal shape, but when you're 41, it's more of a concern that way. And Sheldon Keefe has said in both instances they're going to miss some time. I'm curious about Pierre Engvall, just in that they gave him a two-year contract last year at $1.25 million, which, given all the other guys that just tried to get a one-year contract for any kind of money, whether it's Joe Thornton or Jimmy Vesey or the list goes on and on and on. So I don't quite understand. I think there's a little bit of tough love right now with Sheldon Keefe because he had Engvall in his days with the Marlies and they liked his potential, but obviously something seems off that, you know, Keefe has kind of singled him out publicly about not being happy about things. But to me, that's the kind of guy I think that would be next up. And also, I know it's two forwards that got injured, but please don't do the 11-7. You know, please don't do that. Like, if you're going to play Lettinen, make him one of six defensemen. Give him a chance to see what he can do, getting appropriate minutes and getting acclimated, assimilated in the lineup. But my first guess next up, it should be Pierre Engvall based on the way he played last year and looking at the depth chart.
Do you slide a Mikheyev up, give him more opportunity to play a little top six? Does Hyman come off the right side and get a little more time on the left side as he has played on the left side in years past in the top six grouping? Gord, is it more of a domino effect thing here? Like, how do you see it playing out?
Yeah, see, I think Zach Hyman could play anywhere. I think if they need an emergency goaltender, he can do it. Like, I mean, this guy's been the most consistent guy, and every year the way he's elevated his game has really, really impressed me. So, yeah, that could be a possibility. And last night, Scott, we saw a little bit of the Mikheyev that was really coming to his own before that horrible sliced wrist injury, you know, last year. So, yeah, you gotta go with what you saw. And he's earned a chance to move up a little bit. And I know early on, like, I like what Sheldon Keefe was doing. He's saying to Joe Thornton and Jimmy Vesey and Wayne Simmonds, you know, you're not third or fourth line players exclusively. We're going to give a couple of you some power play time. And, you know, we're going to put you with good players that way. But after a game like last night, you got to read a little bit and tweak a little bit.